Democrats finding little quarter with Republicans on the compromise election bill this week, raising further questions about the future of American voting rights. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter, and the website edtalks.com.au. Republicans have blocked progress on the Democrats' election bill, a test vote ending 50-50 on straight party lines. Dems are looking to override GOP-passed state voting laws many fear threaten American voting rights. Ed, what's going on?
Well, the first thing is these are not the Democrats' bill. This is a bill, actually, a long time ago, was introduced by the Republicans. The whole idea of giving everyone equal access to the ballot has been around since Martin Luther King. And the first Voting Rights Act was killed brought forward was in the 1960s or maybe early 1970s with very strong Republican support. What has happened now is that people are serving in the Senate for the first time, whose interest is in staying in power and not an interest in the American people. The consequence of this is that even a bill they supported, for example, I think they'll vote against the immigration bill, even though they're the ones that put it up. It is now a matter for them of really survival. The Republicans see that they're losing Republicans. That is, young people who go to university become Democrats no matter how Republican they were before. Women are increasingly going Democratic because their interest is in child welfare and community and the rights, and they're tired of the violence. So they're trying to basically use a national means to do gerrymandering, to make sure certain people can't get to the polls. And if they do get to the polls, they can't vote. This is unheard of in the march toward democracy. The notion is the right to vote is extended, not retracted. Women got the right to vote, blacks got the right to vote, etc. So this is a kind of ground that's hard to stand on for a very long time. And the only thing that will change it is a year and a half from now, a bunch of Republicans get swept out of the Senate. And the Senate is automatically gerrymandered by two senators from each state. But the change can't come from simply getting rid of the filibuster. It has to come from an overwhelming mandate from the American people.
We spoke the other week about how dangerous I think the GOP's anti-democratic turn is. But as I mentioned, 100% of Republicans were essentially on board. I mean, if they weren't on board, they could say something, vote counter to what the party as a whole is doing. Democrats aren't necessarily showing the same united front on filibustering, as you mentioned there, all these bills. Biden this week privately counseled key Senator Joe Manchin, who cobbled together the compromise bill that not a single Republican voted for, counseled him to find a path forward on voting rights. What does the come to Jesus mean here, Ed?
Jesus is lost in the wilderness. You know that biblical tale. Manchin, of course, was a far to the left member of Congress when he first came in. And he's moved in a search of power and recognition. Christian Sinema, who seems to be less able but wants the limelight. This always happens. It happens here in Australia. Didn't we just lose the deputy leader of the nation because his party room decided he wasn't far enough to the right, not on any substantive issue, but they weren't demonstrating their power in case the prime minister decided to do something on climate change. So Americans are not alone in institutional democratic stupidity. In fact, we're catching up with some countries in that regard. Japan is in the same silly position where they cannot seem to get their government rolling in the right direction simply because of the need for people to have power. We are going to see more and more of this. Democracy is, in fact, under threat, not just in the United States, but all over the world.
And just before we move off this, Democrats have been opposed to voting identification laws desired by some Republicans, which activists have maintained are a way of keeping minorities out of the polls. Ed, what's your take? Why are Dems softening, and is this opposition justified?
Well, first of all, the opposition is justified from the following story. And this is an apocryphal story. I'm sure my great-grandfather didn't experience this. But he said when he went to the polls, by the way, he died at 107. He was a slave, and out of slavery, he had the right to vote. And he said when he went to the polls, they said you have to be able to read to vote. He said, I can read. And the man said, what's that sign says? Niggas ain't voting here. You failed. Even though you read it properly, you failed. No matter what you read, you failed.
Yeah, so that's about right.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're talking about here. No matter what happens, if more minorities vote than ever before, their votes aren't going to be counted because they were cast in the wrong way. Because not only the Republicans replacing the law, they're changing the people who will count the ballots and who will notarize the ballots, which had heretofore been a right that even the Republicans thought should be accorded to everyone equally. So this is all like war. That's what it is.
Infrastructure. The Biden administration has cited a potential breakthrough on bipartisan talks, a negotiating session of five Dems, five Republicans, and top White House officials. They say have reached a framework of a deal. However, progressives are coming out against compromises on Biden's infrastructure plans. Bernie Sanders, in particular, coming out against a plan that involves raising the gas tax or a fee on electric vehicles. Ed, what's your take?
Well, sometimes even a bad deal is better than no deal. The Dems can certainly shove this down the throats of the Republicans, but that just will make them more recalcitrant. The Dems have another course. They can accept this deal and say, this is installment one, and then come back later with a deal that they'll use the reconciliation agreement to deal with. I don't think it quite go down that way, but I think that's another track they can take. I suspect that all the family and community services stuff that was in this bill will come out in a new American communities bill, which will go to reconciliation, but have a softer approach from some Republicans like Mitt Romney, who wants a bill very much like this. So it'll show that Joe is reaching across the aisle. And even when they go to reconciliation, I think they'll have probably at least six Republicans on side. Kind of, if once you learn how to ride the horse, it gets easier and easier.
You sure Republicans can become more recalcitrant?
They can become less.
In related matters, Kamala Harris has been out and about touting part of the American Rescue Plan, the Biden administration's expansion of the child tax credit as part of what the White House is calling Child Tax Credit Awareness Day. Juneteenth, eat your heart out. Ed, how goes the American Rescue Plan?
Well, the American Rescue Plan is it's uneven, but it's uneven in a way that I didn't anticipate. People who are aware of these options and opportunities through various government services are beginning to take advantage of them. But some of them aren't enough. For example, having your child tax credit is going to take you a month or two to get it, but you're behind on your rent and you're about to go sleep in your car. And it's going to be harder and harder to fill out the forms and all the government finagling that you have to do to get these benefits. So they're good on their face, but they're not seeming to be able to work for everyone the way they should. On the other hand, some people who have a roof over their head, have some degree of security, are taking the extra benefits, banking them, but the thing they're not doing is going back to work. They don't want to go back to work as a waitress or waiter or in one of these large discount stores for a minimum wage that won't pay them anything. Now, hopefully, they're reskilling themselves. Let's say half of them are. But the other half have given up on the notion of going back to work because they are too far out of it. And I just don't want to see an army of people getting sit-down money.
Harris was also touting the Biden administration's pro-union agenda, saying the COVID relief package was unabashedly pro-union and that we are very proud that our administration will probably be the most pro-union of any we've seen. Ed, I just want to unpack that for a moment because obviously here in Australia, I'm aware of how significant the union movement is for the Labor Party. But statements like that from the Vice President, how significant do you find that for Dems, especially in this day and age?
Well, I think what they're doing is basically saying there is no more room on the left for the working class except the unions. And they have to get them because union members were voting Republicans, thinking the Democrats had left them behind. So the move is to get those people who are still in unions and those people who aspire to be in unions and some new union movements among people like the Amazon workers and others accustomed to a party that supports them. Bill Clinton was the first one who abandoned the unions and Tony Blair. Now the union movement, the modern union movement is back. And I would anticipate that gig workers are going to start a union in order to get the benefits and things they need. It'll be like a cooperative that you join and it represents you in your labor negotiations and life. But I think the so-called independent workforce will start moving toward collectivization. And that's what the Democrats sense. And they think if they build this relationship, it'll be a very strong one when these people who are now working, driving Ubers and things say, I need some help. They will find help in Washington.
On COVID vaccinations, the Biden government is admitting defeat on the target they'd set for 70% of all adult Americans vaxxed by July 4th, saying it will take a few extra weeks. Blame is being pointed at younger people, of which I'm a little bit skeptical, but people are so used to these outbreaks now that I think a lot of folks, if it doesn't affect their day-to-day lives in terms of, oh, I've got to travel to this place, or it affects me going to work, they don't care strongly enough.
Yeah, I think we could say the same thing for our friends and neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. Vaccine rollout has not been very good in Australia, but for people who are in nursing homes for it not to be good is really bad news. In the US, that's been taken care of. what we have now are two groups, the homeless and vagabond population in the United States, which have grown very large, and they're very suspicious of anything in coming in contact with government. And the vaccine means they come in contact with government. The other group, while they may be young, they are also the new hippies. They don't like anything anybody's trying to give them. Now, many of them are the gig workers, so they don't have to go into an office. Anyone who goes into an office, into a plant or something like this, is going to be required to be vaccinated. So we're finding this other group. I think with this new Delta variant, it spreads so fast, even the gig workers are going to say, ooh, hey, this ain't cool. I better get vaccinated. When you reach 68%, 65, 68%, I call that a victory.
Mm, close enough.
Close enough for government work.
That's the one. Texas. Earlier this year, we saw 10 million Texans out of power during a winter storm with record-breaking cold temperatures. This week, extreme heat causing the same problems with Texans asked to conserve and forced outages. It doesn't look like much has changed, Ed.
Well, I hope Beto O'Rourke is measuring the size of the office in Austin. You couldn't have a more feeble governor. He's spending his time trying to arrest people who have crossed the border illegally. Why don't spend a little bit of time trying to fix the generators? Generators affect the people in Texas a lot more than people swimming across the Rio Grande. This guy is just a grandstander. He's not doing much for Texas. Beto O'Rourke has got his eyesights on him. Beto's going all over the state saying, I can do a better job. I think this could be the moment.
The blue rise of Texas, that would be something to say. Israel, some restrictions eased on the Gaza Strip, but more violent protests are being seen. The new many-headed Hydra government is still settling in. What's going on?
Well, just as you said, we have a situation here where the government hasn't learned to govern, and the external factors are crippling them. People firing rockets around. And they have, unlike Netanyahu, they don't have this reserve of army and paramilitary and others who will rush to protect them. So it's going to be nip and tuck here. It's almost like you want the old days back where the U.S. would send in a few CIA people when they get this thing straightened out. That's not done quite in the same way was, but this new government is still on training wheels. It's still a very fragile coalition. If they move too much in any direction, it falls apart, and Hamas is taking advantage of that, causing as much havoc as they can. But Hamas may reap the wrong benefit from that, and that is Netanyahu back.
And the race to be New York's mayor. At the moment, we're only looking at the Democratic primaries, of course, but the winner of this race you'd think would be pretty safe to be the winner of the general election in November. Not officially decided at the time of recording, nor is it likely to be anytime soon. But Andrew Yang has bowed out of the race after a poor showing, but Eric Adams ahead and sounding pretty confident, telling New Yorkers he will be their next mayor. What's going on, Ed?
Well, Eric Adams is a very accomplished person. I believe he was a police officer. He has a lot of leadership qualities. He's African-American. He's well-educated. He's articulate. And he's tough. That's what New Yorkers want. New Yorkers don't vote by party. They vote by person, personality, and capacity. I thought the former head of the New York City Council, if she'd won run, she would have won. But a year or two ago, she stepped out for some reason, some picky little thing that happened, and she's out of the running. But I think Adams will be able to build a very strong coalition, and I wouldn't be surprised if Andrew Yang ended up in the New York City government.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest from the land of the free and the home of the brave. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast. You won't miss a thing. And check us out on Facebook and Twitter, US of Ed. As well as the other podcast, Pacific Conversations, available wherever you find good podcasts, and the website edtalks.com.au.